Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, as we move forward in God's Word. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me this morning as we go forth in the Word of God. I am thankful, I am grateful, I am blessed to be with you this morning, for God has given us another day. God has given us a do-over. So thank God for the do-over this morning. Thank God that you woke up this morning. Thank God he gave you today to be better than you were on yesterday. I am excited. We got a great word this morning. We are going to be coming out of 1 Kings chapter 13 and chapter 14. And when I say whoa, it is a whoa word. You know, and as I was reading this morning and studying some more, what came into my heart was whatever God says do, God says do, do it. Not what he said, not what she said, not what woo-woo said, not what boo-boo and them down the street said, not what anybody says, but what God says. If God tells you to do something, do it. You know, don't let anybody guilt you into doing something else or they're famous. What God told me to tell you. Because if God didn't tell you, then you don't need to do it. Even though I've done some what God says, because the person that came to me was a prophet. But again, I know in that particular instance it was my calling, and it was what I needed to do because God had told me that I needed to do it because I prayed about it. So I knew it was the right thing, and everything fell into place. But in this instance that we're going to be reading about this morning, when God says to do something, and you go on and you start to do what God says do, but then somebody comes in and get you off track and say, well, you know, I think, or, well, you know, God told me to tell you. But instead of just doing what they said God told you to do, you got to go to God yourself. You got to go to God yourself, because so many times that's how we get off track. Because we listen to everybody but God. And we find ourselves in a mess of our own making and our own choosing because we didn't trust God. We didn't do what thus is the Lord. And so we're stuck in the muck and the mire of our own creation. So as we get into this word this morning, as you listen, think about doing what God says is. Even Jesus had to do what God said to. He did it. He didn't go to the left. He didn't go to the right. He didn't go up. He didn't go down. What his dad told him to do, that's what he did. And that's what we have to do as well. So let's pray. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus, asking you, Lord God, to let the words of my mouth and the words of your scripture permeate hearts, permeate minds, permeate spirits, that those that do not know the Savior will get to know him through the word of God, through your word, God, this basic instruction before leaving us, Lord God. May we meditate on it day and night. May it permeate our hearts, minds, and spirits as well as those that have never heard the word. Father God, I lift this word up to you. Again, as always, every day I ask, Lord, increase as I decrease. Hide me in your loving arms and under your wings, O God. As this word touches hearts, as your word makes people think, get out of the box and come into the understanding and knowledge of the truth of your word, O God. Father God, I thank you today for another day that you have given us, another day to go into your word, another day to let your word be a part of who we are. Lord God, may we not look to the left, but look to the right, but look up, knowing that one day your son is coming back. Father God, I pray that we are all ready to receive him as our Lord, our Savior, as Jesus, Messiah, who has come to save the world. Father God, I thank you again for waking me up, for starting me on my way, for giving me a do-over and allowing me to read your word. Again, I lift it up to you, Lord God. For you are my strength, you are my redeemer, you are my daddy God, and I'm your humble child. Asking you again to increase and to decrease in Jesus' name. Let this word again touch hearts, minds, and spirits. Amen. Giving honor again to the Most High, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. As they say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine for the Lord. So come on, come on, get your Bibles, y'all. This is Bible. Moving forward is Bible study. And the goal of this ministry is to read God's word from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And we are in this year, as we were last year, God put in my heart to do it 2 years, maybe three. We may be in it again next year. I don't know, and I won't know until God gives it to me. But as of this year, we are in the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I'm in the Signature Series, New King James Version. And it just says this, guaranteed for life, growing in knowledge and understanding of God through his word. And I thank Dr. Stanley for this word of God, and it is awesome. And when you hear me say life lessons, Bible, what the Bible says, it's so many different things. Life questions, that's it. So life questions, what the Bible says, life lessons, those are all Dr. Stanley quotations. So I will say Dr. Stanley and this life lesson, and you'll have the scripture, and then you'll get the life lesson from Dr. Stanley, a quote from him. So again, I want to always put the disclaimer, I am not paid by InTouch Ministries to hog Dr. Stanley's Bible. This is the Bible God gave me. This is what we're reading. Like I said, if you've been with us for a few years, you know we've been through different Bibles. We have chronologically read the Bible. We have read the Greek and Hebrew Bible. We have gone we were a scriptural Bible study. So God would give me a scripture and we would study that word. And then God has given me this to do the entire word from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. because we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised December 31st. We take every day as a new day, and we give God thanks for it. So that is what this is all about. If you're new to Moving Forward, like, what are they talking about? What is it about? And I will be also tell you this. There will be times that I will totally mispronounce a name. But understanding, God knows my heart, and he knows that I'm trying. I'm even actually taking a class, and I'm going to speech therapy to be able to speak a little clearer and a little better for you. So I'm thanking God for that, because I want to be better at what I do for God and have no shame in my game, because I want to do God's will. So understand, everything is for a purpose and a reason. But whatever God tells you to do, the one thing that you get out of this message this morning is just do it. Do what God says to do it. Not what anybody tells you, but what God tells you. Because so many times we do things in our feelings and not in our spirit. Well, I ain't speaking to them never again because they hurt my feelings and I don't need to talk to them. I can't stand them. Attitude determines the altitude. Don't let anybody change your attitude. Keep trusting God. This is what the Word of God tells us in 1 Kings chapter 13. Please join me there. Again, if you are a King James reader, you will be able to follow me pretty close. NIV as well. Some of the others, maybe not as well. But we are New King James, and all it is taking out the them's and thou's and making the word a little crisper to understand. So it says this, and behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David. And on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you. And men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign. The same day saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Then his hand which he stretched out toward him withered so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. But so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he went away and did not return by the same way he came to Bethel. Okay. What the Lord said, do, do it. Now, this is where the sneaky light comes in. And now, an old prophet. Now, this man was a prophet, too. But he was a lying prophet. We're going to call him a proper liar. He was a proper liar. This is now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel. And his son came and told him all the works that the men of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? So I said, see which way the man of God went, who came from Judah. And he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak tree. Sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home and with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you, nor go in with you, neither can I eat bread, nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. And he said to him, I too am a prophet, as you are, and an angel. Come on now, he not only put in the God, he said an angel. Now, we all know angels are messengers of God. So he's going to say an angel. I mean, he went all the way up there. Spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water. He was lying to him. Come on now. A proper liar. And understand, there are proper liars right now. And many a church will stand and lie like everything. Well, God told me that this, that, and the other. And, you know, but hold it. Normally it's for money. But this case, it's just because he was a prophet and God had not given him a word. And so I think there was a little jealousy up in this. I think that he was test. It was also a test. It was God's test. And all that prophet should have done was say, you know what? I'm going to do what God told me to do. Let me pray about it. Instead of just falling because he said, an angel. Come on now. An angel came to me and spoke to me by the word of the Lord. Just lied on God. Just lied on God. Come on now. But what did God tell the prophet to do? He told him not to do anything, not to eat, not to drink, not to go even the same way he came. That's what God told him. God told him, not through a third party. He told him what God tells you to do. That's what you do, not when some third party comes and changes what God told you. If God told you to move, then you move. And don't let anybody tell you, oh, well, you need to live in such and such a place. Did God tell you to live there? Did God tell you to go there? Did God move you there? Then you can't get up and leave. If God puts you in a church, that's where you stay. I don't care what he said, she said, woo-woo said, or the prophet liar said. You stay where God tells you to stay. When God tells you to move, you move. Where God tells you to go, you go. What God tells you to do, you do. And don't let anybody force you into doing something that God ain't told you to do. And until God tells you to move, you got to be still. You got to have a peace in your spirit. This prophet didn't have a peace, be still in his spirit. He was believing because another prophet had lied to him, and he chose to believe the prophet and not follow what God said do. Come on now. Let's keep it moving. Whew, he said to him, I too am a prophet. And that's where it messed up, because he said, well, I'm a prophet just like you. But God ain't told me to listen to another prophet. God ain't told me to go with you. God ain't told me to get out of this place. And so we come on. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you. But you came back, ate bread and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your father. Now, can you imagine after somebody done lied to you, proper lied to you, and then going to come back and say, oops, I'm sorry, you did wrong, so you're going to die. You will want to go across that table and get him. That's the flesh. But this prophet knew, I messed up. I listened to someone other than God. So he ate that. He's like, I've already done it. After he had eaten the bread and not being drunk, that he saddled his donkey for him and the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him. That little bit of time in disobedience cost him his life. Any little time in disobedience can cost you your life. We've got to be careful what we do. We got to stand on God. We got to stand on his promise. We got to stand on his word, because God is in charge of everything. Everything. And I'm sure that the prophet lied will get his, because he did what he did to a man of God. But again, he was used by God for a test. Are you going to do what I say, or are you going to do what he says? So it was a test, and he didn't pass the test, and it cost him his life. We have to be obedient. We have to be obedient to our parents. We have to be obedient to God above everything. And he is our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. That's the word. Not my will, but God's will. And when God says, don't do it, don't do it. But when God says, do it, just do it. Do what God says, do. And then he goes on to tell us, and when he had gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him, and his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse, and there men passed by the corpse thrown on the road, and the lion standing by the corpse. Then they went and told it to the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard it, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Now, we ain't claiming that we the reason why he was disobedient to the word of the Lord. We say, oh, well, you know, it's that prophet. You know, he was disobedient to the Lord. You know, that's Sister Susie girl. You know, I don't know why she gonna go all the way back down over the boo-boo in this house, and now she done got caught up in some mess. No, not the fact that you told Sister Susie that she need to go down and lay hands on the people at boo-boo's house. It's not the fact that you told Sister Susie that God told you to tell her she needed to go and evangelize over at Boo Boo and them's house. You ain't taking that credit. You the one that started the mess. But Sister Susie was going on about her business, and you going to pull her in and come out with God said that you as evangelist need to go all down to Boo Boo and them's house. You need to be laying hands on them. That's what God told me to tell you. And because you have a title of property, you go down the boo, you go down the boo in the house and get caught up in some mess. And she think, well, Lord, you tell me, Lord, so I didn't tell you to do that. That's what Sister Jill said. That's what Prophetess Jill told you to do. I didn't tell you to do that. Come on now, we better stop and think. Before we go running off to do what this, that, and the other said, we got to see what God told us to do. God is in charge of our life. And listen to the voice of God. Because when we don't, wind up dead. And let's come on, let's see what happens after this. You know, now the prophet who had brought him back from the way. Now, I got to read that one more time. Now when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard it, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord has delivered him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to him. And he spoke to his son, saying, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled it. Then he went and found the corpse thrown on the road, and the donkey and the lion standing by the corpse. The lion had not eaten the corpse, nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the corpse of the man of God, laid it on the donkey, and brought it back. So the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. Then he laid the corpse in his own tomb, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. So it was, after he had buried him, that he spoke to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the tomb where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. But the saying which he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the shrines on the high places which are in the cities of Samaria will surely come to pass. After this event, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil ways, but again he made priests from every class of people for the high places. Whoever wished, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the Lord of the high places. And this thing was a sin of the house of Jeroboam, so as to exterminate and destroy it from the face of the earth. So play with God. The man of God told Jeroboam everything that was going to happen, and it does happen. As we continue in our word, we will see. But let's go back to a life lesson from chapter 13 of 1 Kings. It says, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. A number of unnamed men of God populated the Bible. They are like most of us who serve God in anonymity. But God remembers both our works and our names and will reward all faithful service to him. Hallelujah. God rewards faithful service to him. We got to be faithful in what God says to. Don't worry about what anybody else says, but do what God tells you to do. If you're doing it by yourself, you still got to do what God says to. And he will eventually open doors for you. All you got to do is believe. Do you believe what God says do, and then just do it. God told me to, and do it. And it says in 1 Kings 13:33, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil way. Now, a man of God going to come to you, tell you what's going to happen, wither your hand, restore your hand, and you still don't listen to what God says. Regret for the unpleasant consequences of sin does not equal repentance of the sin. He who often rebukes and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed. Proverbs 29:1. And I'm going to read it again. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed. Remember, stiff-necked folks, disobedient. You know, I know I need to change some things in my own life. You know, we got to quit being stiff-necked. We got to do what God says to. Take it to the throne and not the phone, folks. Take it to the throne and not the phone. Give it to God. Repent and ask God's forgiveness for your own stuff. You can't worry about the boo-boo with me if you got your stuff all messed up. And as we go to chapter 14, the word of God says, at that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, please arise and disguise yourself that they may not recognize you as the wife of Jeroboam and go to Shiloh. Indeed, Ahijah, the prophet, is there, who told me that I would be king over his people, over this people. Also take with you 10 loaves, some cakes and a jar of honey. And go to him. He will tell you what will become of the child. And Jeroboam's wife did so. She arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were glazed by reason of his age. Now the Lord had said to Ahijah, here is the wife of Jeroboam coming ask you something about her son. But he is sick. Thus and thus, you shall say to her, but it will be when she comes in that she will pretend to be another woman. And so it was when Ahijah heard the sound of her footsteps. As she came through the door, he said, come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another person? I have been sent to you with bad news. Go tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you ruler over my people Israel and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, and yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, who followed me with all his heart to do only what was right in my eyes, but you have done more evil than all who were before you. But you have gone and made for yourself other gods and molded images to provoke me to anger and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam and will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel, bond and free. I will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as one takes away refuge until it is all gone. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Jeroboam dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. For the Lord has spoken. Arise, therefore, go to your own house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something good for the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord will rise up for himself a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam. This is the day what even now, for the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land, which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their wooden images, provoking the Lord to anger. And he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who sinned and who made Israel sin. Then Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Sargon. When she came to the threshold of the house, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to his servant Ahijah, the prophet. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, now how he made war, how he reigned, indeed they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. The period that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years. So he rested with his fathers. Then Nadab, his son, reigned in his place. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonite. Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they committed more than all that their fathers had done. But they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every hill, every high hill, and under every green tree. And there were also perverted persons in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And we're going to call it like it is. In King James, they call them the Sodomites. We're going to go over to King James real quick and read this from King James. Because, you know, and I'm not trying to talk about anybody. I'm just saying this is what God's word says. And, you know, we get upset when people say things, but we got to speak what thus says the Lord, not on your flesh, but on God. And what God says in chapter, we're going to go to verse 21. And it tells us in chapter 14 of First Kings. So we'll start right there, and it talks about Judah and the stuff that they did. You know, we got to understand, and I'm going to look here, and I'm going to actually start at verse 12 and say, "Arise, there, therefore get thee to thine own house, and when thou shalt enter to the city, the child shall die." And that's Jeroboam's wife. And what happened? What God said would happen, happened. But God said, and let me go back here, Judah's not much better. And then he goes over to talk about Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and he was reigning Judah, and he was doing the same kind of stuff. And this is what it says in here, it's verse 22. "And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built," come on, "them high places and images and groves on every tree, every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all, and he took away all the shields of gold with Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields, and committed them unto the hand of the chief of the guard, which kept the doors of the king's house. And it was so, when the king went into the house of the Lord, that the guard bore them and brought them back into the guard chamber. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah. And Ammonitess, Abiram, his son, reigned in his stead." And that was King James from my King James reader. And as we get into our psalm this morning, we are coming out of Psalm 69, the 69th Psalm, verses 16 through 21. "Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for confidence, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink." And a life lesson from this word is understanding. And it says, "They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink." The Roman soldiers crucifying Jesus entertained themselves by giving him wine mixed with gall to make it bitter. Later, others gave him wine, vinegar, to drink, Matthew 27:34-48. So God in his grace showed Jesus what lay ahead. David wrote about this all a long, long time, what was happening and what would happen. And it all came to pass. Proverbs 17:23-24, and it says, "A wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice." We see it happening all over our world. Wickedness in high places. Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding. But the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. We cannot be foolish in this season. We got to start asking God, "Lord, you take control. Lord, you guide me. Lord, you tell me what to do." And when the Lord tells you to do something, when whatever, God tells you to do. Just do it. Do it. And as we go into our New Testament word, we are in John chapter 12, continuing, and we are in verses 27 through 50. And if time permits, we do have a life question for you. And it says, now, my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Jesus is speaking to us. This is one of them real letters. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. It had thundered. Others said, an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And we know that we say this, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You know, we sang that I remember singing that as a little kid. And, you know, you get happy when you sing that. If I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men unto me. And then them tambourines get to going, and then it's on and popping. Because that is a, whew, thank you, Jesus. If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Jesus said he would draw us to him. Then he said, signify by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Because now folks are getting confused. And Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Hallelujah. The prophet spoke, and he spoke what thus says the Lord. But there were those that did not believe. Jesus came, did all kind of miracles, spoke truth to power, and there were still those that did not believe. We have this word of God to guide us and to lead us, and there are still those that don't believe. There are those who don't feel that they have to do what God says do. And they will go by way of the prophet who chose to listen to the prophet liar. And as we continue in our words, it says, therefore they could not believe because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Whew. Say it again, they love the praise of men more than they love the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I'm going to read verse 45 one more time. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Jesus, the face of God, the only face that men have seen, because no man has seen the face of God, not even Moses. It was Jesus all the time. He was, I am. Hallelujah. Who, thank you, Lord, for that word. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my word as that which judges him, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting. Can I say it again? Even Jesus knew that the command of God is everlasting. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father told me, so I speak. In other words, what God, my Father, told me to do, that's what I do. I just do it. And that's what we have to do, too. Whatever our Father, God, tells us to do, do it. John 12 and 32, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Jesus says that he draws all people to himself. We are to represent him as well as we can, but we never convert anyone. It is Christ's job to cause faith to draw to dawn in human hearts, not ours. As 2 Corinthians 4:11 testifies, we who live are always believed, delivered to death, but for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. I'm going to read that again, the whole thing. If I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Jesus says that he draws all people to himself. We are to represent him as well as we can, but we never convert anyone. It is Christ's job to cause faith to draw in human hearts, not ours. As 2 Corinthians 4:11 testifies, we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Hallelujah. Thanking God for his word this morning. And I love this life question. Answers to life questions. If you want to get a pen or a pencil, this is something to write down. And it says, being lifted up sounded good until the disciples realized that Jesus was signified by what death he would die. John 12 and 33. They had hoped that he, as the Messiah, would inaugurate a powerful earthly kingdom. However, all his talk of death quickly dashed their hopes, because he had to die to live. Hallelujah. And we have to die to sin to be born again. What was even more confusing was that when Jesus had spoken about being lifted up earlier, he had explained that it would be as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, John 3 and 14, that caused to mind the well-known and terrible episode in Israel's history, Numbers 21, 1 through 9. The incident Jesus spoke of occurred right after God gave the Israelites victory over the Canaanites at Horma. Though they had triumphed over their enemies, the Israelites were complaining they were disheartened because instead of heading forward to the promised land, it looked like they were headed backwards, back to the Red Sea, where they had narrowly escaped the Egyptian army. God was leading them around the enemy territory of Edom, but they didn't care. All they knew was that they were tired, and it felt like this journey in the wilderness would never end. Why was God doing this? In their discouragement, they spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? But there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Ooh! And remember, we read that back in Numbers, chapter 21, verse 5. The wine, I call them the whiners and the complainers. And this is how they wind up in the wilderness for 40 years, because they was whining and complaining. And it says it was unthinkable that the people who had been saved out of Egypt by God's mighty hand would address him and his servant Moses in such an ungrateful manner. And God's anger burned against them. God sent fiery serpents to bite the people, and many of them did not survive. This frightful plague of snakes lasted until they were willing to repent. Numbers 21:7. Then in his mercy, the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. And we all know that the medical, I believe it's the American Medical Association, uses the serpent on the pole as a sign for medical service. Standards, as long as the fiery snakes were under the people's feet, they were deadly. However, as soon as Moses lifted up, and the people looked upon it, God made it the catalyst for their healing. The same is true for your relationship with Jesus. As long as you hold Jesus under your feet, in the sense that you don't believe in him because of your pride or limited vision, your own actions will condemn you. 1 Peter 2:6-8. However, when you lift Christ up, honoring what he did for you on the cross, then you will be healed. Hallelujah. In John 12, Jesus taught that to the disciples, he knew that they would be tempted by discouragement after the crucifixion. And he wanted them to understand that his death on the cross was the beginning of the true victory, that being lifted up was the way all people could be saved. Woo. Even though the disciples' goals of participating in an earthly kingdom were destroyed, Christ was showing them that they would inherit a better kingdom in heaven. It can be difficult to remain faithful when your circumstances seem to be taking you away from your goals instead of toward them. However, don't make the mistake the Israelites did by speaking against God. Such faithless actions dishonor God and hurt your spirit. They reveal that your heart is not right. Instead, when you feel weary and disheartened, look to Christ, lift him up in your life, and praise him. He knows your journey is long and difficult, and that your heart can only handle so much. Yet, as surely the backward steps you're taking are leading you to an even better goal, and as long as you're looking to Jesus, he'll give you the strength and encouragement you need to carry on. And the best thing about his plan is that along the way, as he exalted in you, others will be saved as well. Exalt the Lord today, and whatever God tells you to do, do it. Anyone that has a word from the Lord this morning, now's the time to push the one on your phone, and your line will be open. Again, what God says do, do it. Hallelujah. And a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning is not here yet. So we will have Sister Carolyn's word for tomorrow. We will have that on, the word for today we will have on tomorrow, because we have not gotten her word for this morning. But we do have our prayer for today. And again, I am coming out of 365 days of prayer for life. And I pray for this June the 2nd. Wow, I will rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we know that's the 118th Psalm, verse 24. Woo! And I tell anybody, when you need a word, go to Psalm, that 118th Psalm. And it says this, Mighty God, I am grateful for another day to live and love. Thank you for giving me this fresh opportunity to know you and be known by you. I invite you into every area of my day. I long to see you reach into the details of it and bring the restoration and power of life that only you can. Let my heart overflow with gratitude and joy as I see you answering the prayers of my heart. There are no small asks to you, and nothing is too big for you to handle. I will rest in knowing that I don't have to face anything on my own. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. With you, I know that all things are possible. Will you quiet the doubts of my mind with the power of your faithfulness in my life? I can't help but pour out my heart to you, God, for you are my joy and my living hope. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for this prayer this morning. For this is the day that you have made, O Lord, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And the word that I have for you today to think upon is, what can you rejoice in today? Hallelujah. Thanking God for this word. Thanking God for all of you. And again, have a blessed day, family. And as we pray out this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And we have a caller.
Good morning.
Good morning, Evangelist. How are you this morning?
Still hoarse, but I still am grateful and thankful that the Lord woke me up this morning to a new day. And as I heard the voice of God say, peace be still. We have to peace be still. Hallelujah, to hear the voice of God for us to follow the instructions of God. Because sometimes we want to hear God's voice, but we don't peace be still to hear the voice of God to know when to go or where to go or how to go or what time to go. So just peace be still and listen to the voice of God for your instructions, for your directions, for your orders, and your corrections. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, everybody. And thank you so very much, Evangelist, for just doing what God told you to do. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed day, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed that you all joined us this morning. Thank you again, Evangelist, for a mighty word from the Lord. We're going to have a peace be still in our spirit. If that's what God gave you, that's what we do. Hallelujah. Do what God tells you to do. But if God has told you to move, you got to move. But if God has given you this word, to peace be still, you know it's for you. Peace be still. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, on moving forward, it's a wrap. Why is it a wrap, Evangelist? Because why? We got to go to work. And who do we work for? We work for God. Hallelujah. So, sister, it's time to go to work. I'll see you on the job. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.